Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar sound of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Got a lot of fights to talk about this weekend. Let's get right to it. Let's get right to our guest, Mr. Iceman John Scully. Ice, how are we doing tonight, my man?
Everything's very good. I'm in. Just moved back to Connecticut. I'm actually still in the process of moving in the house, so it's kind of a busy week for me. But I'm ready to go.
Oh, man. Hey, you just get frequent flyer miles, man. I don't know.
Yeah. I actually drove up. I drove up this time. It would make sense to fly, but I like to check things out. You know, I like to check out the country every chance I get. So I drove. Took me a couple of days. But I'm here. I'm actually here right now, literally like 200 yards from the house I grew up in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and you're back up in familiar territory. I mean, you do enough work up around in that area, and everybody's familiar with you. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. But, these last couple of weeks have been pretty productive as far as, the fight scene is concerned. We've had some controversies and whatnot. John, I'm going to ask you because I'm going to present the same question to Ronnie. I mean, you guys are an integral part boxing scene. We kind of discussed on one of the other shows when Ronda Rousey was put on Ring Magazine, as to whether it was appropriate or not. Not because she was a female, but whether or not it was appropriate to put an MMA fighter on the front of the boxing Bible. And we had our fallout about that. Considering what happened last night, considering the article that Oscar, that was a pretty flamboyant article that he put out in Playboy magazine. John, is this kind of, Ronda's loss, is that kind of karma coming back to bite her and Golden Boy in the butt?
I mean, I would say so. I mean, they jumped the gun, without her ever having a professional fight. But I mean, obviously we live in a different era now, and we all know why he did it, for the sales and the wow factor, the attention factor, which, it obviously worked. I mean, everybody's talking about it. I actually put up a status about it on Facebook as soon as I saw it, and they went crazy like this. It was like over 100 comments and just people, really, really wild opinions. And so, I mean, he got the job done. He got the result he wanted. I'm sure he sold a ton of copies. People figure it'll be a collector's item one day, and it sparked conversation about his magazine. So, marketing 101. He did a good job with that.
All right. Now, as a boxing purist, though, what do you think as a boxing purist and as someone whose whole life has been dedicated to the sport and to those of us, older than you, this was the Bible, more or less. The rankings, we depended on this for good articles. Ring Magazine, as I said, was almost sacred.
Right.
Did you think the change was appropriate?
I mean, I didn't think so, but I looked at it as a sign of the times. It's kind of like fighting in Madison Square Garden. It's a great thing. Like if a young fighter today gets an opportunity to fight in Madison Square Garden, it's a great thing. But I have to be honest. I mean, it's not what it was. Fighting in Madison Square Garden in 2015 does not carry the same weight and meaning that it did back in 19, 1945, 1967, 1972. It was, you know, it's a different era. You know, so that's a sign of the times. You know, they do these kind of things. Ring Magazine was the Bible of boxing because it was, you know, in many ways, it was the only outlet for media boxing, you know, other than the daily newspaper back in the day. Now you have tons of, you know, you have 400 websites, 400 podcasts, 400, you know, TV stations. So I think it was the Bible of boxing. I don't think it's seen as the Bible of boxing anymore. So, you know, it's just par for the course. But they, you know, I think many boxers considered it a slap in the face because they've never been on. You know, and this girl never had a pro fight, never had a boxing match. And, you know, now, I mean, if anything, you know what? I mean, they should at least put at least a quarter size picture of Holly on the next issue just to kind of smooth that angle out. You know, I think that would draw even more attention to the magazine if they were to do that. But that's the era we live in. That's the kind of stuff that sells.
Now, secondly, I'm sure you, like everyone else, has had a chance to read Oscar's letter to Floyd, saying that he was bad for boxing and talking about the opponents and whatnot. John, just you know, I'm just asking, what was your opinion of the letter?
You know, it's kind of a funny thing. Like, I think he made some very good points, but it's law. He was the wrong messenger because of his, A, he's a promoter, B, he fought Floyd, and he lost to Floyd, and he's got Canelo, and so I think he was the wrong messenger. You know, his good points were probably overshadowed by people's opinions that he's just got sour grapes and, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, he obviously had some valid points. And, you know, on that end, I'll say this. I mean, I read a lot of people actually don't like to watch Floyd fight. And I'm kind of surprised. Like, I expect people to know boxing as well as I do. And I watch Floyd, and I've never watched him and thought he was boring. You know, I never thought he was ultra exciting, but it was interesting in a different way. It was exciting in a different way for me. It was exciting to see if he could execute, it was fun for me and interesting to see if he could nullify these guys' offense and their power punches, and he did that. And to me, that was interesting. But the fact of the matter is people need to realize that the average fan really doesn't know that much about boxing, to be honest. I mean, the average football fan doesn't know that much about football. You know, I know people that you know, are diehard fans. They watch every week, and they don't. If you ask them what division is the Steelers in, they don't even know they're in the AFC Central. They don't even know that. You know, they just love to watch the Steelers and rah 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 and drink beer and, you know, talk about the game, you know, and see the hits. So, you know, that's it. That's what I say. I liked watching Floyd. He wasn't exciting in the traditional sense, but I saw aspects of his game that did, if not excite me, they interested me in a great deal.
Yeah, you know, and I think that was the thing about Floyd. I mean, you know, you either loved him or you hated him. You bought the pay-per-view because you wanted to see, you know, everybody was supposed to come at him, da-da-da-da-da, so forth. You know, but it was, like you say, his bouts were always interesting. They might not have always been exciting or entertaining, but, you know, they all had their different aspects to see how he was going to handle his different opponents and whatnot. But, you know, hey, we all have our opinion. Oscar has his, I'm sure, you know. John, you know, considering the state of boxing, you know, we have boxing on TV now and you know, so much exposure. Is this feud between Oscar and Floyd counterproductive to all the progress that we've made at this particular time?
You know, I guess it remains to be seen. I mean, I think, you know, it's almost like when Oscar was a fighter, like, and not just Oscar, I mean, any fighter, you know, any chance to get their name out there, you know, and to stay relevant, you know, the fact that somebody wants their opinion on something, you know, it's almost like a presidential race among promoters. You know, and you know, Oscar, he might not even have promoted the show lately. I'm not even sure, other than the one coming up. But his name is out there. People are talking about Oscar. So in effect, they're talking about him and his promotional group. And oh, what's Oscar up to? And now that brings publicity for the fight next week, which is, I'm sure, was on his mind when he did that interview. So it's I guess they say any publicity is good publicity, and anytime people are talking about boxing, there's going to be an interest. So I mean, here we are talking about it. So in that respect, it's good. I don't know what Floyd plans to do in terms of if he's planning on doing any type of real promoting in the future or anything. If he does, then it's going to be good for him too to get in. You know, the way it is to get into these kind of debates or disputes with other guys. It's like I say, it's just a different era. It's just a different era, and all publicity is good publicity. I guess that's the way they see it.
Yeah. I just wonder what point, you know, does it just become more of a sense of immaturity rather than, the advancement or, you know, the making of rivalries within the game.
Right.
But John, let's talk about some of the bouts that we've seen in these past couple of weeks. Let's start out first of all, Timothy Bradley, Brandon Rios. What were your thoughts on that fight? Let's start there first.
I mean, you know, obviously a very good performance, and I think it. You know, the way perception is. I mean, it obviously is probably bigger for Teddy than it is for Timothy at this point. You know, I think a lot of people are naturally assume that Teddy had a big influence on that, and, you know, he did his thing in the corner with the they were on fire or whatever happened. You know, so I guess, you know, that's show business. If anything, it made people want to see if they can continue that magic together, if the next fight is going to be similar or even better. You know, I think realistically he beat Brandon. I think he may have beaten Brandon anyway, but I think he beat Brandon at a point in his life. Obviously he retired after the fight, so I mean he beat him at a time when he may not have needed Teddy's input. But that's one of those scenarios where it brings up questions and debate and interest as a result. So I think it's good because people are going to want to see next time. If anything, they're just going to want to see if they can duplicate that performance.
Now, you know, the most interesting match or matchup that I've seen, and you know, it's been kind of bannered back and forth on Twitter and the different social networks, a rematch with Favonikov. Hol Diaz against Freddie Roach. What do you think?
I like it. I mean, at this point, any fight, like I'm different. I'm not necessarily always looking for the undefeated guy to fight the undefeated guy or the next big star to fight the champion or all those kind of things. You know, I just basically look for what is a good matchup, what has a great storyline, things like that. And I think a rematch between those two would be probably a great fight and a good sell and a natural thing for boxing right now.
And like you said, I mean, it's good for boxing. I would look forward to that matchup. John, let's see. You spoke of this weekend. Cotto Canelo, your thoughts? What do you think Canelo's game plan is going to be? And then give us, what do you think Canelo's game plan is going to be?
I think it's a potentially a very tough fight for both guys. I think we're going to see. I think a lot of people expect to see a war bombs away. And I think you're going to see that in spots. I think that the nationalistic pride and just their general temperament, I think, is going to call for that. But I think there's going to also be a lot of smart boxing And, you know, one thing about Freddie Roach and guy, any guy at that level, really, they know, you know, nobody goes out, no big-time trainer ever says to his guy, look, this is a big fight. We need to make it exciting. We need to make it, you know, we need to make a big statement here. We need to make it very exciting and bombs away. You know, nobody would say that. They can't say that. They have to go by how to beat that opponent. So I think you're going to see a lot of smart boxing, but mixed with that intensity level and the nationalistic pride that both guys are going to carry into the ring. So I think you're going to see basically two boxer punchers going in a very good fight.
And you want to pick a winner?
If I'm going to bet, I'll bet on Canelo. I think he's obviously a little bit fresher. And I think he's a very strong guy. I think both guys are very strong, but I think my gut feeling is that later in the fight that Canelo will be a little bit stronger. And I think that the telltale rounds, probably, 8, 9, 10, 11, I think those are going to be the telltale rounds. And if I had to bet, I'd bet on Canelo to take over the second half of the fight and look good doing it.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you there. I don't really think that Cotto would want to get into a punching match with Canelo, especially considering the two differences in age and, you know, the weight and whatnot. John, this weekend we saw Edward Rodriguez get back in the ring. He's now a light heavyweight. What did you think of his performance, and what do you think of his rate? How would you rate him in the light heavyweight division?
Well, I mean, the fight was a great fight. A great, you know, attention grabbing fight. It was exciting, and Edwin showed amazing resilience. I mean, to come back like that, you know, that was like a Trogatti. Trogatti was on his way out against certain guys, and he came back and he won by knockout. You know, it was thrilling. But by the same token, you can't be fighting Adonis Stevenson or Kovalev and getting caught with those kind of shots, because, you know, chances are you're not going to come back like that. You're not going to have the resiliency to take those shots from bombers like that. So, I mean, but he did what he had to do. He did what he needed to do. I mean, he showed the heart that many fighters simply don't have. You know, they would want to do it, they would try to do it, but to actually overcome and come back and win by knockout was pretty impressive. So I think he made a statement. He made a statement about himself at 175. Now, like I say, fighting Kovalev and Stevenson is a little different mountain to climb, but I think he established himself as well as anyone in the division right now that he could deserve a shot at it.
Most definitely. John, I know, like you said, you were moving this week and you have some pressing engagements there. So why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening? Tell everybody about any events you might have coming up and where we can find you on social media, my man.
Well, as always, John the Iceman Scully on Facebook and Iceman John Scully on Twitter and Instagram. Always talking boxing. Pretty much 24 hours a day, mixed in with some other stay. The other day, as I was driving to Florida from about 1 o'clock to 7 a.m., I was getting advice on what was wrong with my car. I had some knocking up in the front corner, and I had mechanics from all over the world giving me the input. So my Facebook is pretty active, 24 hours a day. And I invite anyone and everyone, come on and talk boxing. We've got a great discussion actually going on this very minute about the De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather situation, and especially the Ronda Rousey situation. That one's got well over 100 comments. So I'm pretty active, and I appreciate anyone else that wants to join in.
Most definitely, my man. Hey, so you have a great night. Looking forward to talking to you again next week. And, hey, as always, you know, be safe.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one, John.
All right, buddy.
That was the Iceman Scully. Always glad to have the Iceman drop by on Sunday, give us his comments. We're going to be talking to Mr. Ronnie Shields here in a few minutes. Any other listeners out there that want to make comments about the Ronda Rousey situation, and Oscar's letter, you can join me in the chat room or hit me up on Twitter or call in. We'll take questions and comments. As I was saying to John, I just thought it was karma. After all of the publicity and then finding out about Ronda's domestic violence in her past against her boyfriend, her present boyfriend having had domestic violence in his background, I guess it all goes back to that old axiom, people in glass houses. We all have a lot of baggage, and sometimes, we say things before we think about our own baggage. So I think it's kind of a wake up call. Once again, I really thought that the putting Miss Rousey on the cover of Ring magazine was actually a slap in the face of boxing. I understand that Oscar owns the magazine. It's owned by Golden Boy, and he can put whoever he wants on there, but I thought it was a bit premature. And I thought it was more as a slap at Floyd. It was kind of like promoting your allies, whether you know that much about them or not. Some of the things that Oscar said in his letter to Floyd, we all have to agree with. Some of his fights were boring, especially if you were, putting down anywhere from $80 to $100, $125 a pop for Floyd's fights. I can see where, the fans, I even, said myself when he was fighting Pacquiao that this was not a fight that I was expecting to be exciting or knock down, drag out, Pacquiao on the attack. After watching Floyd for 40 fights, what 40 plus fights, what did anyone else expect? Floyd was not a knockout puncher, never claimed to be. He said he'd win, and that's what he did. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what plays out. Another thing I'd like to make a quick comment on is the so-called war, or the YouTube exchange, I guess, between Adrian Broner when he was speaking of the remarks that Floyd made. First of all, I don't understand where Broner has a lot of room to talk. I understand him being, a four-time champion. But let's be honest here. Your opponents weren't exactly, a lot of world beaters. When you did have a chance to prove yourself against the so-called world beaters and up-and-coming prospects, you came up short. I can understand why Floyd, calling him your big brother and whatnot. I can understand him being a little perturbed by your not keeping up the standard. Let's just be truthful here. Floyd is a much better showman, whereas Floyd is a showman, Adrian comes off more as a clown. If Oscar was ever going to say to anyone, should be a used car salesman or work in the circus, it would have to be Mr. Broner. And that's not taken away from his ability. I'm talking about the way that he carries himself and how he has shrunk when it was time for him to shine in the spotlight. But, you know, it's maybe if he did a little less time, you know, worrying about his social media and all these personal beefs, you know, he could actually get back to the business of fighting and establishing himself as a legitimate, historic fighter. We know what, you know, we know about the legacy of Cincinnati fighters, and he seems to be following the negative side of that pretty well. Right now, I'm going to get Mr. Ronnie Shields on the phone. I'm going to extend his time a couple minutes here and let's see what's going on. Well, it's time for a little straight talk with Mr. Ronnie Shields. Ronnie, how are we doing this evening, my man?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Doing great.
I can imagine. I think you still have a smile on your face from Friday night. Am I correct?
Oh, without a doubt, man. Without a doubt.
Before we get started talking about some of these other nonsensical subjects, man, let's talk about some of the good things that's happening with you. Before we talk about Edwin, you had another young man that was on your program, Mr. Darwin Price. He's been putting up some great performances. What did you think about his performance Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, he had a flawless performance. You know, he did exactly what I wanted him from doing in a lot of instincts, and he, you know, he won 8-round unanimous decision. First time going 8 rounds, which was really good. He threw a lot of punches. He, you know, he kind of hurt his right hand early in the fight, but, you know, he didn't stop him from doing what he was supposed to do. So he, you know, he came out victorious, and I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, it was a wide decision, so, you know, I was really happy with that.
Yeah, Ronnie, Darwin seems to have faced some really stiff competition. What's next for him as a young man? Like you said, this was his first 8-rounders, what's next for Darwin?
Well, you know, I think we're not going to fight again until maybe January or February. But, you know, it was a guy that fought on the show that was from Detroit. I can't think of his name, but the kid is 16-0, and he's in the same weight as Darwin. And so, you know, his promoter, Lou DiBella, they came up to me, asked me afterwards would we be interested in fighting that kid, maybe on a show box card. And I said, absolutely. And so maybe, hopefully, we can make that happen. I think that would be a good fight for Darwin. I think it's a perfect opponent for us. And, you know, like I said, the guy is 16-0. Darwin is now 9-0. So I think that would be a great, great showbox fight.
I believe that the gentleman you're talking about is Mr. Nicholas Givon.
Yep, absolutely.
He seems to be another, like you said, another young man on his way up. He is 16-0-1, actually. That would be a very good test. But Darwin's been tested before, Ronnie, and you always seem to bring him through. So we're looking for great things from him. But let's talk a little bit about Edwin, my man. I mean, you know, hey, you know, after seeing that exchange in the first round, both gentlemen getting knocked down, then again, you know, I mean, hey, man, that was almost a Rocky-like performance for Edwin, was it?
Well, you know, Edwin is a real hyper guy, you know, and I have a plan from the beginning was to, you know, get close to Michael Seals and, you know, push him early in the fight. You know, we know this is Michael Seals, although he was 19-0, we realized how good he was, but, you know, we felt that if we jump on him, you know, he was already nervous for being his first time on television. And, you know, we figured that, you know, we'll push the pace on him early. Hopefully, you know, we can hurt him and you know, possibly get him out of there. But Evan did it. He didn't do it the way we did it in the gym. The way we did it in the gym was we went behind the jab, got close, then, you know, sat down on punches and, you know, and that was the plan. But Evan came out. I mean, he came out swinging. I mean, he was really swinging for the fences early. And, you know, and he did catch Michael Seals and did drop it. But in the meantime, after he hurt him, and this is a thing that we worked on in the gym. Say we knocked him down. Okay, how do we go and approach him? We don't just run out there. We go back and do the same thing. We go behind the jab, and then you go catch him with shots. But Edwin, you know, he started throwing these wild shots, and he got caught with a right hand. He got dropped. Well, the first knockdown, I really wasn't concerned because he took a knee just as we practice in the gym. You know, you get hurt, what you do? You take a knee, you take the full A count, then you get up. And he did exactly, you know, what we always, you know, do in the gym. You know, we practice these things in the gym. So then he gets up. Then he gets dropped again, and this time it was a devastating drop to me. I mean, it was devastating. But he rushed up, and that's when I knew he was hurt because, you know, otherwise he wouldn't have rushed up. He, you know, he would have took the knee again, but he got up too fast, I thought. But anyway, you know, he was able to, you know, after he got up and after he gave him the A count, the bell rang, and these guys kept going. So I ran across the ring and I got him and I brought him back and put him on the stool. And, you know, and our cup man, James Michael Basil, he right away started putting ice on him, you know, around his neck and around his face. And then I took some cold water and I put it on his head. And, you know, and I had to slap him a couple of times to get him to look at me to make sure he was okay. Because, you know, really and truly, I didn't know how bad he was. You know, then I asked him something, and he answered me, so I knew he was okay. But, you know, I still, you know, I told him, I said, look, man, the guy only has one punch, and that's a right hand, and that's it. He has nothing else. His jab doesn't mean anything. I said, all you got to do is box this guy. You're going to catch him. It's going to happen. You're going to get close enough to catch him, but I just want you to stay on the outside and use your jab and faint the man. And make him throw that right hand. I said, then you can counter. You got to listen and do what we do in the gym. And he got out there in the second round, and he did that. He, you know, he started using his feints. He kept his distance enough to where, you know, he got his head really clear. Then he got close enough with the jab, and bam! Then he hit Seals again with the right hand and dropped him. And he had him hurt then. But then the bell rang. So when he came back to the corner, I said, look, this guy's really hurt. So now I just don't want you to run in. Just get close, put your jab, and then let your punches go. And he did that, and, you know, and then the referee stopped the fight. So, but, you know, it was one of them fights, man, that you didn't have time to get nervous or you didn't have time to think about anything. You just, you know, may have to make sure you did the right thing And look, it was 5 knockdowns in 6 minutes and 24 seconds. That's unbelievable. The first round definitely should be the round of the year. That's without a doubt. That should be the round of the year with 3 knockdowns in the first 3 minutes of a fight. Then, you know, I think it should be fight of the year because of the excitement of the next, you know, the other round and 15 seconds or 24 seconds. You know, it was just an exciting fight, you know. But I really and truly believe Evan was going to knock him out, but I wanted him to do it in a way that looked really, really good. Not that it didn't look good. It did, but, you know, I didn't want him to get knocked out. But, you know, it happens, and, you know, when you make mistakes, you pay for them. But luckily for Edwin, you know, he was in great shape, and, you know, and I tell you, man, if he wasn't in shape, he would have been out. But he was in good shape, and at any point on the first knockdown, when Edwin knocked Michael Seals down, the fight could have been stopped because he went from one side of the ring to the other side and fell. You know, at any time, the referee could have said, okay, that's it. And then not the first knockdown for Edwin, but the second knockdown for Edwin, the referee at any time could have stopped that, you know. But then when Edwin dropped him again the second time, the referee could have said, hey, that's enough, that's it. And then the last time, the guy was really messed up. So he didn't have no choice but to stop it. But, you know, I think, man, it was such a great fight that didn't go long, that everyone is still talking about it. I'm still getting texts, man. I had so many texts that I've been getting from different people, numbers I didn't even know of, and everybody was just so excited about that fight.
Most definitely, very exciting fight. Good, glad to have all the buzz around Edwin. Edwin's always been a favorite of the show. But Ronnie, as you spoke of, you know, going up against, you know, some of the, you know, Donna Stevensons and Kovalevs, how important is it going to be for you to teach Edwin more patience to go with that power?
Well, you know, the thing about Edwin is, Edwin wants to, you know, he's the type of fighter that he wants to please everyone. But I tell him, you know, it's a cost when you try to please everyone. You know, it's a cost to doing that. And when you don't listen, and when you go in there and you just do things that, you know, just in the heat of the moment, you know, the heat of the moment is always get you, you know. And, you know, and that's when you leave yourself wide open. And that's something that, you know, that we have to continue to work on. I've been working on this forever, for a very long time. But in when he gets excited, he just forgets everything, and he just want to get you out of there. That's just the type of fighter he is. And, I mean, you know, everybody know Edwin take a good shot. But at the same time, the ones that you don't see is the ones that you have to look after. You know, that's the ones that hurt you the worst, is the ones that you don't see. He said he never saw the right hand coming. You know, and that's the one that put him down. So, you know, of course, you know, we're going to go back, look at it together, you know, and try to change that. We have to, you know, I think, you know, when you fight for a world title, or when you fight these top contenders, you know, they're definitely going to be looking for that, you know, for the same, for you to make the same mistakes. And that's something that we definitely have to get in the gym and work on, and, you know, and we have to fix it.
Yeah, most definitely. Like you said, but you know, I mean, you know, we all know Edwin. We know how he wants. Like you say, he wants to please the crowd. He wants to be entertaining. He always wants to have positive things said about him. So he tries to put on his best performance. But great fight. Looking forward to seeing him back in the ring. And as always, congrats to you, Ryan. But Guillermo Rigondeaux is now signed with Roc Nation. There's been a lot of talk about Roc Nation, both positive and negative. A lot of talk about Guillermo Rigondeaux, about stripping his title and whatnot. But now to decide with Roc Nation, he's on the undercard of Canelo and Cotto. Ronnie, what's your thoughts on Guillermo?
Well, I mean, I'm glad for him. You know, Guillermo is one of the top fighters in the world, and he deserves a chance, just like any and every other fighter that's out there. You know, I'm glad finally, you know, he did make a deal with Roc Nation. You know, the problem with him is, you know, he still has that other promotional group that's with him that don't have any clout, any money, anything to put him on. So they have to go with a, you know, they have to do it with a co-promoter that's bigger than them in order to get him fights. But I'm so happy now that, you know, Guillermo is one of the best fighters in the world. And that's what he should be doing, fighting. So finally, you know, I'm glad they made a deal for him. And, you know, and like always, he's going to prove that he's one of the top fighters in the world. And he deserves to be fighting. He don't deserve to be sitting on the outside like a nobody and not fighting. The guy was champion of the world. And then, you know, got his belts taken because, you know, these guys, you know, Khabib, you know, they couldn't afford to get him a fight.
Yeah, it's, you know, the fight game is bittersweet in a lot of ways. But, Ronnie, my favorite subject of the week, and, you know, I have to talk about it. First of all, you know, we kind of had a little conversation with Mr. Scully and some other boxing people about Ronda Rousey being on the cover of Ring magazine. I believe you and I talked about it, too. Then, you know, we find out that everybody has a little dirt in their closet that, you know, that they were trying to hide, her boyfriend. And then Oscar comes out with this piece in Playboy. Right after that, Ronda Rousey gets knocked out by a boxer, a female boxer. Ronnie, was this karma coming back to bite Oscar in the ass, in the butt?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it was karma. You know, the thing about it is, it's one thing to promote yourself, you know. It's another thing to do it off of somebody like Floyd Mayweather, you know. And, you know, it's another thing to make this girl invincible when in the sport, in any sport, you can get beat. So, you know, they want to make her invincible. And while she got a lot of publicity for doing that, you know, look, they did the same thing with Mike Tyson. They did the same thing with so many other fighters that's out there, whether it's UFC or MMA or a professional boxing, you know. But, you know, you got to understand that we're all human beings, so we all can get beat. It is a matter of, you know, you know, so many people believe that, and so many people don't believe it, you know. And, you know, it just happens, you know. Maybe she was reading the headlines and forgot to, what got her to the position that she's in right now. You know, listening too much to so many different people, you know, and that's the thing. You know, you have to, you know, you have to take caution into what you're looking at and what you act for. You know, sometimes, you know, you get what you act for. And, you know, while she was out getting all the publicity and everything, you know, Holly Holm is training and getting in the best shape of her life for perhaps the biggest fight of her life. And while I don't watch UFC or MMA, I don't watch any of it, you know, I read about it, you know, and it just so happened it wasn't by a punch, it was by a kick that did it to her. You know, so how ironic that, you know, like if it had been like with a right hand or left hook or whatever, they would have had the excuse to say, well, because she's a boxer. But she knew the girl was a boxer anyway. But how ironic, she got knocked out by a kick. So, you know, it is what it is, and now maybe everybody will shut up and just call fights as you see it, you know. Every fighter deserves, you know, when they do something good, you know, they deserve to be written up about, you know. But when you overemphasize on one thing and one person, this happens all the time. The same type thing happens to so many different fighters, you know, because they start believing everything that they read. And, you know, and for some reason, they feel they don't have to train as hard because now, you know, they made it. They're there, you know. But you know what? It just lets you know that, you know, you can't take it to heart. You still have to work just as hard, you know, and maybe even harder when your name gets out there and you're on top.
Ronnie, do you think that maybe Oscar's letter was a little too personal?
Well, you know, I think it was a little bit personal. You know, the thing about it is, if Oscar had a problem with Floyd, he should have been a man and say, you know, let me call and, you know, and address Floyd myself. You know, that, you know, you don't address another fighter or another man in the media. You know, I think you stay away from that. You know, nobody's interested in the beef that Floyd has with Oscar and vice versa. You know, I don't think it should be fought in the media. Two men, you know, if you don't do it in person, call him. You know, you have his number. Oscar Ben had Floyd's number. All he had to do was call Floyd and say, hey, man, I have a beef with you. I think, you know, this and this should happen, or that and that should happen. And you know what? You know, and you do it between yourselves. It don't have to be in the media, because all it does is put a negative spin on boxing, you know, and you start getting people to take sides, you know, and it's no side should be taken because there's nothing to it. There's nothing, you know, it's nothing that anybody is interested in. Who cares about the beef between Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather? Who cares? You know, it just doesn't make sense. And I just think that both guys keep things out of the media. And, you know, if you want to handle it like men, you know, call each other, meet somewhere, talk about it, get it over with. But don't put the negativity on boxing, because that's exactly what it does. Oscar's not in the game anymore. You know, he can't talk about the guys that Floyd has fought, because people could come back and say the same thing about him, the exact same thing. So, you know, the old saying is, you know, you can't throw bricks if you live in a glass house.
Yeah, precisely. I thought that, you know, the same thing myself. You know, but we see so many things on social media now. You know, I mean, you know, we've had the beef, you know, with Freddie Roach on social media. We've had Adrian Broner on social media. Now we have Floyd and Adrian on social media. We got Oscar and Floyd, you know, out here, you know, talking on Playboy and whatnot. But on the other hand, you know, every week we see PBC and the different networks putting on boxing shows showing, you know, the young prospects as well as some of the names that we're familiar with. Ronnie, with the success of the PBC, of the PBC series, shouldn't we be concentrating more on the positive side of what's happening to boxing rather than bringing it back down to this he say, she say, and all of the negative comments, rather than concentrating on the sport that we all say that we love and want to see every week?
Absolutely, you know, and I tell you, man, Spike TV, every, you know, I think Spike TV is going to really be doing something really great because, you know, I think that the last three fights that was on Spike TV has been just phenomenal. You know, they've been having some great, great fights. And, you know, the thing about it is light heavyweights. You know, Spike TV has been featuring light heavyweights. And, man, I tell you, you know, it's, you know, in order to be a light heavyweight and get on Spike TV, you better get out there and fight. Because I think Spike is getting a, you know, it's getting to be a known network, you know, when it comes to boxing. And, you know, and we should be concentrating on the good fights that's been happening, not all of the, you know, the words between all these different fighters. And, you know, Floyd is supposed to be retired now. So, you know, he should only be speaking as a promoter, not as a fighter. You know, he shouldn't be getting into it with Adrian Broner or anyone else. He should be promoting his own fighters. That's what he should be doing, you know. And he should know that, you know, boxing has so much negativity already that you don't add to it, you know. You know, now you're a promoter, so that's what you should do. You should promote your fights, not just one guy. Promote everybody in your stable. That's what you should do. But at the same time, you know, boxing ain't going anywhere. Boxing is getting better and better and better. And everybody is, you know, is really talking about all the good fights that's being on television right now. So that's a good thing. And they should know not to destroy that.
Most definitely, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, for all the steps that we're making forward, it would seem, you know, devastating for, you know, all of these little petty, I don't know, these little petty beasts, you know, to extinguish the light of boxing. Ronnie, but, you know, we've seen Andre Ward now. He's vacated his super middleweight belts. And he said he's moving up to light heavyweight and to fight Sergio Kovalev. Ronnie, what do you think of this matchup? And do you think how many tune-ups or do you think Ward needs a tune-up before he fights Kovalev?
Absolutely, he needs a tune-up, and you know, and he's going to get one. You know, there's no way in the world you can go to him and say, okay, you now your next fight you have to fight Kovalev. No, that's not fair. It's not fair to him. You know, he realizes that, you know, you can only hold that weight for so long and, you know, and it's time to move up because there's really nothing at 168 for him anyway. You know, all the fights are at 175, you know, and he knows it. But this is Andre is a very smart fighter. He's a very smart individual and he knows what he has to do. So this is why he's making the move. And he's going to fight, I would say, one or two fights in light heavyweight before, you know, he was to fight Kovalev. And, you know, and I think it's going to be a great fight. And I think it's a fight that the fans really and truly want to see.
We all know that, you know, Kovalev is going to be around. I mean, this seems like a great matchup for Andre. But Ronnie, what do you think? Maybe April, May next year?
No, it'll probably be longer than that because, you know, Andre is out with a bad knee right now. And it depends on how long it takes for his knee to heal, you know. From what I understand, you know, his knee swelled up on him, and he's been having problems for a while now with that knee. So I think, you know, he's going to be out for a little bit. So it's just a matter of, you know, how long it takes for the knee to heal.
Yeah, knees, you never can tell about them. I mean, for some people, it's a lot longer healing process than others. But, Ronnie, without getting into the beef between Adrian and Floyd, 2016, Is it boom or bust time for Adrian Broner?
Nah, man. I don't think so. You know, Adrian is a young fighter. You know, he's been around. You know, he haven't been around as long as people think he's been around. I mean, you know, the guy's like 26 years old. So, you know, he's champion of the world right now. So, you know, I mean, you know, he's ready, willing, and I'm sure able to take on any and everybody that's trying to get in front of him. So, but I think Adrian is going to be okay. I don't think, you know, he should rush himself to do anything. I think, you know, he wants the big fights that's out there, and that's what he should be looking for.
Yeah. Speaking of a guy that's probably looking for a big fight, it's a big fight out there. We saw Mr. Jared Hurd, junior middleweight. Ronnie, what did you think of his performance, and what do you see next for Mr. Hurd?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see the fight. I was watching the thing on Showtime, and then I got pulled away from it, so I didn't get to see it, but I did read about it. But Jared Hurd is a really good fighter. I mean, I've seen him before, but I also seen Galarza, and I think Galarza was the favorite going into the fight. But hey, you know, Jared Hurd just proved, man, that you know, you at any given time, man, any fighter can win and any fighter can lose. You know, the most important thing is you got to prepare yourself for, you know, for the best fighter that they're going to put in front of you. You know, in this day and age, man, it's hard. It's really hard to be undefeated in the sport of boxing right now. I mean, it's really hard, man, because it is so many good fighters out there that you know, you just, you know, it's you know, if you're not ready, man, you can lose. So, you know, I was glad to see that Jared Hurd got the victory. You know, he got the stoppage, and you know, but that don't mean that Galarza is not going to come back. You know, all it means is that he has a loss on his record. Now he has to go back to the drawing board and come back better than he was before.
Yeah, Galarza was the favorite. Everyone was kind of thought that he was going to take apart Hurd, but like you said, any given night. Ronnie, December 11th, we have the return of Guillermo Rigondeaux. Nonito Lanier. Your thoughts on Nonito's return?
Well, you know, I mean, I've always thought that Nonito Lanier is a good fighter. I've always thought of him in that way, you know, and he's always fooled himself. So, hey, you know, but again, you know, in the sport of boxing, you got to prove yourself time in and time out. You know, you just have to continue to do it. And no matter who they put in front of you, you know, you have to get out there and perform and, you know, and win. So, you know, he's been around a while. He's a veteran. And I expect nothing but good things from him. But, you know, but again, the opponent wants to win also. So this is why it's called boxing. And, you know, you have to be at your best at all times. So, you know, but I'm sure Donnell is, you know, to me, he's one of the top guys out there in the division, you know. So, you know, it's a lot of good fights out there at featherweight right now. So, but I'm sure, you know, Donnell is looking forward to coming back and getting back into the hunt for the title.
Yeah, it's you know, he is another one you know, that's always fan friendly, and you know, we love to see him in the ring, but you know, considering hey, everybody's not a Nicholas Walters, so you know, it seems like a good step for him to come back. Ronnie, two questions. Demetrius Andrade says he wants to be part of the WBC Junior Middleweight Tournament to crown a new title holder since Florida's vacated the titles. Number one, Ronnie, is there going to be a tournament? And number two, do you think Demetrius should be a part of that tournament?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a tournament or not. You know, I know they were talking about the 147-pound weight class during the tournament. I didn't hear anything about the 154-pound guys during the tournament, but, you know, but who knows? You know, WBC controls that part of it, and, you know, because it's for their title. You know, I don't know what the WBA is doing, but, you know, look, Demetrius Andre is one of the top fighters out there. If it is a tournament, I do believe he belongs in it. You know, he's an ex-champion who didn't lose his belt. You know, he got stripped of the belt. So, you know, I don't think he should lose any status as far as, you know, the rankings are concerned. I think he should definitely be involved in it because, you know, he is one of the top junior middleweights in the world. And that's what it's all supposed to be about, you know, who's supposed to fight the best fighting the best for the vacant belt.
Yeah, most definitely. Like you said, he was stripped. He wasn't really beaten in the ring, so I can see him making a valid point. And it's not like he's a scrub. He is, you know, a valid contender. Ronnie, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Timothy Bradley. There's been a you know, talking about social media and putting things out there. Of course, Hull Diaz has said that he'd like to see Timothy a rematch with Timothy and Mr. Provodnikov. What did you think about that, Ronnie?
Oh, I think that's a great fight. I mean, I really and truly believe they should do a rematch. I think it was one of the best fights, fight of the year, you know, and I really believe that, you know, again, I always say that I think the best should be fighting the best, and I really believe that, that you know, Bradley and Provodnikov are two of the best welterweights that's out there, so why not, you know? I don't know if it can be made, but I don't see why it shouldn't be made, because it's not a lot of opponents, really, that's available. You know, I mean, it is a lot of variability out there right now, but I think that's an easy fight to be made.
Yes, you know, that to me, that would be the fight that I would most like to see, considering the way they went at it the last time. You know, hey, I would love to see that fight. Ronnie, you talked a little bit about Spike TV. We have another Spike TV card coming up. Bebo Shumanoff is coming back again. Ronnie, do you think that Spike is going to be the new ESPN Friday night site, Friday night fight replacement?
Well, man, if you go by the last two cards that they've had, absolutely, without a doubt. I think everybody is looking forward to Spike TV now. You know, they've been getting some great fights, man. You know, not just the main events, the other fights too. You know, that they've been getting what people really want to see. So, I mean, why not?
Like you said, why not? They have been putting on some great cards, and I always look forward to seeing Spike TV whenever they have something on there. Ronnie, this weekend, the big one, we have Canelo and Cotto. I mean, excuse me, is it this? Yeah. Cotto and Canelo. Who you got?
Well, you know, I've been going back and forth with this. You know, just like a lot of people, it's going to be a tough fight. But, you know, I think you have to always go with the experience. And I think Cotto, you know, he's the most seasoned fighter and the most experienced fighter. So, you know, I think he's going to win. But I think it's going to be a good fight. And I think it's going to be worth the watch.
So you going with Jay-Z in this one? You got your $100,000 on Cotto?
I wouldn't put 100 knuckles on it, to tell you the truth, but you know, you know, look, in the sport of boxing, as you know, anything can happen. But you know, I just think in this case, you know, I think Cotto has been there, he's done that, you know. With Canelo, it's always something new because he's a young kid. He's fought some different styles, but you know, not as many as Cotto. So I just feel that, you know, that the experience in this on Cotto, you know, he's going to know how to slow the pace down. He's going to know when to pick the pace up. And although Canelo, you know, he fought a few big names, you know, but it's still, it's a huge fight. And it's one that Cotto has been through time and time again. He knows what to do. And, you know, and I just think the experience you can't beat.
Okay. Speaking of experience that you can't beat, Vladimir Klitschko, November 28th, against Tyson Fury. Talk about a lot of trash talking, Ronnie. You know, Fury has had a mouth. You know, we don't know, you know, whether he's going to be able to punch Klitschko, but, hey, this match is pretty even. I mean, this is a guy that's just as big, if not bigger than Vladimir. Ronnie, are you looking for Vladimir to have a real test this time?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, Tyson Fury is a big guy. You know, he matches Klitschko better than anybody that Klitschko has fought, I think, thus far. So, you know, I mean, in that way, you know, you got to give him a chance. Experience, again, you know, experience you just can't beat. You know, Klitschko, smart guy, been champion forever, you know. And, you know, Fury, you know, is going to depend on one thing, his power. You know, he's going to, you know, he's not going to depend on skill. And that's where he loses. He loses on not only the skill of Klitschko, but the power of Klitschko. Klitschko knows how to hold. He knows how to frustrate him. And, you know, he haven't had that before. And Klitschko has seen it all. So I say Klitschko by KO.
Okay. Same day, November 28th, James DeGaulle, Lucien Bute, super middleweight. Who you got in that fight, Ron?
I got DeGaulle. I think DeGaulle, you know, he's a really, really good fighter. He's, you know, he's the type of guy that he loves to go to your backyard and beat you. That's, you know, that's what he did against Darrell. You know, he came to the United States and, you know, basically, you know, he just outwilled, you know, Anthony Darrell. And then, I mean, I'm sorry, Andre Darrell. Or was it Anthony? I don't know which one. Well, one of them Darrell. So, and then now, you know, he's going to go to Canada and fight Bute. You know, I think Bute, you know, he didn't look all that great to me in his last fight. He beat the guy he was supposed to beat. And, you know, he stopped the guy the way he was supposed to stop him. But I still seen a lot of flaws in him. And I just think that the goal, this kid, he's a good fighter. And he has a good punch with him. A lot of experience through the amateur ranks. A lot of experience now through the pro ranks. And I just see him being a better fighter.
Yeah, young prospect that we both like is going to be on that card. Mr. Amir Imam is going to be on that card. He's going to be fighting 10 rounds, junior welterweight. Ronnie, what's your expectations for this young man? He showed a lot of promise.
Well, I think this kid is destined to be a world champion. You know, I know he's the mandatory of Postal. And this kid, he can fight anybody. I tell you, I've been watching this kid for a couple of years now, and I've been keeping up with everything he's been doing. You know, this kid can really go. He's a smart kid inside that ring. He's a good puncher. You know, and he's a good boxer. So he can do both. He has what it takes. And I just think that this kid is destined to be champion of the world.
High praise coming from Bill Belichick of trainers here. Ronnie, now let's talk about your two fighters. You have one, Mr. Islam. Mr. Lara is going to be back in the ring on the 25th in Florida. And Ronnie, that's what I love about you, man. Them frequent flyer miles. I mean, you know, hey, November 25th, Hialeah, Florida. November 28th, back in Dallas. Ronnie, you know, I mean, is it the spinach? What is it, man?
Well, you know, it's just doing my job, man. You know, that's all it is. You know, it's all about the work, man. And I love my job, and it's, you know, when you love something, it's easy to do.
Well, let's talk about putting in the work. Here's Landy. What's the plan? How's the training going? You know, I mean, I know you're not going to, you know, tell us, you know, your blueprint. You're not Oscar. So, you know, but how's the training coming and your expectations?
Well, you know, when it comes to Harris Landon Law, my expectations are always high, you know, because this kid, he works hard. You know, he's a very hard worker, and, you know, he wants to be perfect in the ring. You know, he's a boxer. That's what he does. And, you know, and we have a tough opponent in front of us, in John Zivit. You know, we expecting the best out of every fighter that we fight, and Jan Zivit is no different. You know, what we're going to do is do what we always do. You know, that's box. And if Zivit can make us change something, then, you know, we're ready for that also. So, you know, we don't just work on one thing with love, we work on different things. But what we try to do is perfect the boxing as much as we can. And that's one of the things that, you know, that we pride ourselves on. And that's one of the things that we're going to continue to do. You know, some people don't like, you know, Lara, because Lara outboxes everybody. You know, that's just who he is. You know, and you have to accept him that way. So, you know, so again, you know, that's what we're going to do. But yeah, we have to sit there and go toe-to-toe with Zivit. If he makes us do that, then you know what? That's what we're ready for. That's what we practice in the gym every day. So, but we still always stick to the first thing that we do best, you know. And I think it's crazy if somebody don't do what they do best and try to go out and do something that they're not used to doing. So, you know, so we're looking forward to this fight, and, you know, and we're looking forward to Lara defending his title.
Ronnie, I know a lot of the audience probably aren't familiar with his opponent. Can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Zivit?
Yeah, sure. You know, he was IBF welterweight champion of the world, and, you know, he's been a contender ever since before then, before he was champion of the world, and he's been a contender now. You know, he fought, his last big fight was against Keith Thurman about a year ago. You know, he lost a 12-round decision, and, you know, but, you know, the word was that, you know, he was having trouble with the weight at welterweight, so he moved up. And, you know, and he beat guys to get to this position of fighting Anderson De Lara right now. So, you know, Zivit is, you know, he's a good fighter. He's a strong fighter. So, you know, so we have to be at our best.
Most definitely. Ronnie, before we talk about Mr. Jamal Charlo, let's talk about another young prospect that we both have a lot of respect for and look forward to great things from. 12 rounds, Mr. Errol Spence Jr. Ronnie, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I always thought that Errol, you know, was one of the best welterweights ever. You know, but again, you know, this kid, he just keeps proving it. Every fight, he keeps proving it that he is. And, you know, he's starting to get a lot of recognition now, which is great. It's great for him. And I know he's going to be in great shape. I know he's going to be ready to go. So I think that, You know, he's fighting a tough kid, you know, but, you know, I look forever to win and look impressively, as always.
Yeah, Errol is, you know, a classy young man and always puts on a great performance. But Ronnie, let's talk about your new champion, Mr. Jamal Charlo. He's going to be fighting there in Dallas. You want to tell us a little bit about your opponent and your plans?
Yes, our opponent is Silky Wilky Camford. You know, really, really good fighter. You know, he's a contender. You know, he's only has one loss out of 22 fights. So, you know, he's been around. You know, he's 31 years old. He's older than Jamal. And Jamal is one of these guys that, you know, he's a young kid, but, man, he's hungry. And, you know, although he's champion of the world, the hunger is still there. You know, a lot of times a guy wins a championship, the hunger leaves, but not Jamal. You know, he realizes, hey, you know, that the opportunities, you know, get even better when you win and when you continue to win. So, you know, Jamal is, you know, he's training very hard, as always. And, you know, and we're not looking, you know, at Wilkie Camford as just somebody, you know, to get in the ring with. We're looking at him, you know, because we know this kid is hungry. We know he wants to, you know, he wants to win. So, you know, so we've been doing everything we can, you know, just to sharpen Jamal's skills up, and we're going to be ready to put on a great show on November 28 on NBC.
Ryan, let's talk a little bit about some of your other prospects. We touched on Mr. Price. I believe Steve Lovett was originally scheduled on that car, but he wasn't on it. Ronnie, do you have anything coming up for some of you young guys like, you know, Lovett, Cowboy Carl, and those guys?
Yes, actually, Steve Lovett and Cowboy Ryan Carl, they both are going to be fighting on November 28th on undercard, you know, on Jamal Charlo's fight of his card. They both are going to be swing bouts. So it's a possibility that if Errol's fight goes short, then you would either see Cowboy or Steve Lovett, and as well as, you know, Jamal's fight. If his fight happens to go short, then, you know, you might either see one of the guys, you know, Jamal or Cowboy on that one also. So it's a possibility, you know, that both guys can get on television. But, you know, it all depends on the time, on the time that's available. And then I got my two other prospects fighting on Showtime on December 11th. Brant Pee Wee Cruz, you know, he's fighting the co-main event here in Houston on Showtime. And my other kid, Steve Woodall. Steve is he's a middleweight. He's fighting on Showtime also on December 11th here in Houston. So, you know, so people will definitely get to see those two guys fight and see, you know, these are my up-and-coming guys. And then on December the 12th in San Antonio, I have three guys fighting there, Samaje Thomas, Ricky Edwards, and Justin Deloach. They're going to be on the NBC-FN cards. They're going to, you know, be stand, you know, swing bouts on those. So, you know, it's just great nights and boxing coming up, man. And, you know, we're going to be busy between now and December 12th. So we have a bunch of fights coming up. All of the, you know, up-and-coming guys are really, you know, getting in shape. They're getting ready. And everybody has a fight, so.
Ronnie, we've had the heavyweights back in the news. Stiverne pulled out a decision. We got Vladimir coming up. Ronnie, you got a couple heavyweights. Anything on the agenda for either one of them?
Absolutely. I got John Wesenofa. He's going to be fighting on the undercard of Evislando Lara. You know, he's fighting Yosemite Consagro, you know, and that's going to be in Miami. So, and Arthur Spilker, you know, he was supposed to fight on the card on December 12th, but they took it off that card to make it a main event at a later date.
Okay, so you're going to be very busy for the next 45 days or so. Ronnie, 2016, I know it's a little early to be talking about it and whatnot, what do you have coming up for or your expectations for Plex in 2016?
Well, you know, just like always, we're going to continue to train hard. We're going to continue to build the fighters, and we're going to continue to, just do what we always do. And that's, put great game plans together and win. You know, that's what our goal is, and that's, we're going to continue to step up our game. But, we're always looking to do different things and just keep the guys going. And I think that's the most important thing is everybody, to keep all that bought into the program put together. And they, they really enjoy it. They really enjoy the competition. They really enjoy everything that that we're doing. So we're very excited about it.
Ronnie, I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but, we talk about all of your fighters' accomplishments. We talk about your accomplishments in and out of the ring. The role model that you present to your guys and how they look up to you. But, Ronnie, have you quietly became the Bill Belichick of boxing? I mean, without the hoodie.
Well, I tell you like this. I'm a very blessed individual. I have a great team around me. I might get a lot of the credit, but, definitely, I can't do all this by myself. I have so many guys that's involved. First of all, the fighters. You have to give the fighters a lot of credit because they buy into the program that we put in front of them. That's number one. Number two, I think we have the best conditioning facility and the best conditioning coaches in the sport. With Danny Arnold and his team of coaches that he has, and also with my assistant coaches, Cree Fountain, he's been with me. He was one of my trainers when I was a fighter, and he wanted to get out of the sport, but I talked him into coming back and helping me train fighters, and he did. And and Creed is he's like 75 years old right now, and he's still going strong. He's in the gym with me every day. And I have a new trainer that I just hired. He's been with us about a month now. His name is Troy Browning. Troy used to be a fighter. He was a southpaw. He fought, he used to come and train, with us way back when I was with Pernell Whitaker. He was one of the sparring partners that we used to bring in to spar when Pernell fought a southpaw. And, he has experience, and we're teaching him our system, and he really likes it down here, and hopefully things work out, he can stay here. So, it's more to it than just me, but we work hard, that's what we do, and we put the fighter first, and the fighters know it's all about them, and it's all about, stuttering, I watch a lot of fights, a lot of tape, a lot of this and that. Sometimes I get confused on who's fighting who because I'm watching so many different guys. But we get it done. And, we're very fortunate with the fighters that we have. I can't give them enough credit, man, because, when you get somebody to buy into what you're selling, everything seems to work.
Most definitely. Ronnie, we know, you know, most of the fighters and everything have something that they do in the community, you know, for Thanksgiving or the holiday time, something to give back to the community. Really familiar with some of the work that Mr. Chalo does around the neighborhood as far as charitable and giving back. Ronnie, what does Plex have in line for the holidays?
Well, actually, Plex is going to be we're going to be busy. You know, that's going to be the thing. We, you know, Lava Fight, you know, the 25th, which is Wednesday, the 25th, the 26th, the next day, we're going to be flying to Dallas because, you know, Jamal Charlo fights on the 28th. So, you know, we're taking Jamal with us to Miami so we can continue to work. And Thanksgiving Day, we'll be on a plane going to Dallas. So Plex will be closed, actually, on Thanksgiving.
Ah, well, hey, but like I said, you know, we appreciate the work that you and your guys all do within the community. Look forward to seeing everybody on TV doing, already got my Thanksgiving agenda filled as far as TV is concerned. hey, football and boxing, what more can you ask for? Ronnie, give us any final thoughts, anything, you know, that you might want the general public to know, any comments that you want to make on anything past or anything coming up before we let you go?
Well, you know, just watch, you know, keep the TV tuned in to boxing. Boxing is really in a great state right now, you know, especially the PBC cards. They're really doing great. You know, it's been some exciting fights. And, you know, we're going to continue that and be watching on November 25th on ESPN, on regular ESPN, Erislan De Lara. And then you'll get a glimpse probably of John Wesley Nofar on ESPN3. So, you know, they're going to make announcements how they're going to do this thing. But, you know, but the boxing fans, I know they will be watching.
Yes, sir. And, hey, my man, as always, we appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you soon and appreciate everything you do for the show and the time that you give to this great sport. So thank you very much, Ronnie, and we'll see you next week, my man.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Well, everyone, that was Mr. Ronnie Shields, a little straight talk with Ronnie Shields. Also had a great conversation with Mr. John Iceman Scully. Appreciate everyone's time tonight. Looking forward to talking to everyone next Sunday. We won't have a show this Tuesday. We look forward to seeing everyone next Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. And we will have a show just before Thanksgiving Day the following week. So no Pugilist Corner Tuesday, but look forward to seeing you the following week and also next Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week. Ooh.